Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So imagine you were asked to choose a play from history, any play ever written, to address the 2014 shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson and perform that play to a Missouri audience, which has the incident fresh in their minds, of course. What play would you choose? Well, the task was given to my next guest, and after thinking about it for a while, he chose a play written 2,500 years ago. Here's a clip. See if you can guess it.
Were you aware of my proclamation forbidding the body to be buried?
Yes. I knew it was a crime.
And you still dared to break the law?
I didn't know your laws were more powerful than divine laws, Creon.
For the non-classics majors in the audience, that was from Antigone by Sophocles. This has been touring, this show, playwright Brian Dorries calls Antigone in Ferguson for a couple of years now. First, actors perform a reading of the play, then the audience is asked to respond in a group discussion. The show is now in a month-long run at the Harlem Stage, which is why we're talking about it. It's in New York, and it's free, but you have to RSVP. With me now, director and creator of the project, Brian Dorries, and with him are two performers who are in the play. They make up part of the Greek chorus, which for the modern era is more of a gospel choir, Marcel Davies Lashley, singer, social worker, and activist, and Latricia Allen, who also happens to be a veteran St. Louis police lieutenant. Welcome all of you to WNYC. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks so much,
Thank
Brian.
Thank you for having us.
And before we get to anything else, I think a lot of our listeners, Brian, are like, Antigone, is that the one with the brothers or the war?
Yeah.
What is it again, and what does it have to do with Michael Brown and Ferguson?
Yeah, so Antigone is a play about a young woman who stands down the state and buries her brother after a brutal civil war in which two of her brothers kill each other in battle. And against the edict of a king named Creon, she buries her brother and then faces imminent death. A sentence by her uncle, Creon. It's about a young woman who stands down the state. It's also about the desecration of a body, because the state leaves the body of Polynices to rot above the earth. And when we decided to bring this to Ferguson, it was those two things that seemed to be the hooks that connected with the community, the idea of tension between the state and the community and the moral law of what is right, even if the state's law might not be right, might be wrong, and also the idea of the desecration of Michael Brown's body. As we learned from our collaborators in Ferguson, it was the leaving of Michael Brown's body above the earth for 4 hours, more than 4 hours, that caused people to leave their homes and go into the streets after his death. Mm.
And Lieutenant Allen, you are, as I mentioned, a veteran St. Louis police lieutenant. How'd you get involved with the play?
Well, I sing with the St. Louis Police Department choir. We have a choir within the police department, and our director is Philip Woodmore, who Brian called and said, hey, get this music together. And Phil kind of reached out to all the choirs that he has, St. Louis Police Department choir, his church choir, and other community members to make the chorus.
And how do you feel, both as an African-American woman in St. Louis and a member of the police department, seeing this play, being part of this play, as it relates to what's happening in real life today?
That's a heavy question. From the play, I take away more than I give as a chorus member. One of the things I often say, even though I'm a police officer and been so for almost 30 years at this time, I'm still an African American woman. I'm still a mother. So I understand what the chorus means, and I understand what the community means and the takeaways from that. So that puts me kind of in a quagmire. Because I understand from both sides, but one thing I always say is that no mother should have to bury her son. Mm.
And from your perspective, from the stage, how does it seem that this play strikes audiences?
The audiences remain in awe from the singing, from the conversations, from the takeaways, every I've been at every performance except for one for the last 2 years.
Wow.
And the takeaways from the audience are profound, if you will. Some of the things I didn't understand, something happened just, you know, kind of last week with the song, the last song that we sang, and kind of sparked a conversation and caused things to change within the play group. So I think the audiences are giving us more than a course will ever give them.
I want to come back in a minute to what that moment was, because such an important part of performing this play, I gather, is the post-play dialogue with members of the audience in whatever city you're in. But first, Marcel Davies Lashley, singer, social worker, activist. How did you get involved with the play?
The play came, I was involved since the second performance at the Onassis Center. I received a phone call from Nadine Gallner, who works with Rachel Chanoff, in the office, and said, I know you're the choir lady in New York and you have access to singers and voices from your church, and we need a collaborating choir from New York to combine efforts with the St. Louis group who is performing this piece called Antigone and Ferguson.
And how would you describe how the chorus works in this play? How does the music work to tell Antigone's story?
We fill in what is not being relayed in the script. I think the chorus certainly softens the heart of all of those who are in the audience first. So it probably lays a little bit of a soft bed for what's to come in the delivery of the context and also the after discussion, which can really get very sensitive and really heated in some cases. And you don't know what you're going to feel or what's going to come up in the conversations. And the choir clearly is representative of the community, by which all of us serve in some capacity, live in, are a part of.
As the Greek chorus in the original Antigone was supposed to be, right?
That's right. I mean, we're not, this isn't about proselytizing Greek drama, but Greek tragedy as a democratic form, as a platform for real discussion and engagement within a democracy, within a community, is what we're trying to model. So our choir, our chorus, has activists, members of the faith community, originally three of Michael Brown's teachers, youth, and all of those oppositional positions. It's not like they go backstage afterwards and have a giant group hug and agree on everything. We as a company, they as a group, have had to have some very hard conversations over the last 2 years. And this new group, which includes New York police officers and activists and singers, also, you know, we're still in the process of integrating them, and there's a lot of backstage conversation that models the conversation we're asking the audience to have out.
Lieutenant Allen, what was that moment you were referring to before where conversation with the audience after the play changed the cast, how they view something?
Our final song is titled I'm Covered, and I used to introduce the song as a St. Louis police officer, and one of the audience members brought out, like, you know, the nerve and the gall of you to sing I'm Covered. Michael Brown's body wasn't covered, and this happened, and it was, and the police officers, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself. So the conversation that we had as a team, we really did spend hours in Greece unpacking that song and what it meant. So in a larger audience, we didn't want to define the song or introduce the song anymore. It's about you translate the song into what it means to you. So we took away the introduction to allow people to translate and understand in their own minds what that song means to them.
If they wanted to take it, for example, as the heavy irony of you're singing about covered and Michael Brown's body wasn't covered.
Right.
Were you there for that moment, Marcel Davies Lashley?
Oh, yes, I was absolutely there. I was surprised. That was the first conversation of that kind where a participant in the audience was clearly offended, and the person that was with this young lady was also really, really offended and even said that we were a disgrace to God. So some very strong feelings came up. And the one thing I have experienced in this piece is that it's not designed to offend any one group or person, but it certainly is a catalyst to have a conversation and think about and talk about the hard topics and often the elephants in any room.
Is this what you were hoping for Brian Dorries, by setting this up as a play followed by discussion?
Well, so we're trying to redefine the relationship between theater and audience, and there's a reflexivity between what the audience says and what we do every night, the questions we ask, the way we perform, and what both of our performers, Marcel and Lieutenant Allen, referenced is that this is an organic thing, and the audience is constantly teaching us. That young woman who stood up and said that our work was the performance was traumatizing for her to hear, was coming from a place of trauma. And we have, if I had one way to word to define this project, it is a mental health project at the end of the day, probably before it's about police violence or racialized violence. And one of the things I'm so grateful for in our partnership with Harlem Stage is that we've been given this incredible privilege to sit this project down for 5 weeks in a space that's very diverse. People come from all over the city, but it's a black space. And it's a space where people of color come and engage and have been engaging for over 30 years in conversations about social justice. And from that concentrated place, we're hearing things that we haven't heard in other communities that are very direct, that are teaching us how to deliver this so we can have the controversial conversation while simultaneously delivering a sense of hope and interconnectedness to the audience.
Say that again about the play being not just a theatrical event, but a mental health event, is that what you said?
Yeah, so much of the work, Antigone's last line before she dies is in the play is, witness the injustice of my suffering at the hands of these men for doing what is right and what is sacred. And the word witness in Greek, martyros, martyr, it's the same word etymologically, a martyr is a witness. We are trying to create a space where people can witness and bear witness and name things that are very hard to articulate, because we believe, we have faith in the fact that putting words to very difficult and traumatizing experiences can actually give people agency and empower them to pursue paths to healing and to interconnectedness.
Marcel, I wonder how that strikes you as not just a singer but a social worker, that a piece of theater could also be a mental health event in the way that Brian was just describing it.
I'm delighted that it is a mental health event and an opportunity, again, to speak to what Brian said about it being in Harlem, black theater, in black culture, and I'm sure in other cultures, mental health is not a discussion and often not addressed. And the things that show up in people, they don't even know that they're gonna have these emotions and feelings. If this play was produced in a European theater where I've worked with director Robert Wilson, where you could stage something for 7 hours, we would really have the capacity to then employ therapists to deal with all of the things that show up in the emotions of our guests. So that would be an ideal set of circumstances.
I like that idea a lot.
Americans don't have that ability to sit and be cared for in that length of time.
It definitely takes a lot of physical and emotional stamina to do a lot of Robert Wilson's work, but that's another show.
Yeah.
The Sophocles character, Creon, Lieutenant Allen, I see, is played by a black performer sometimes and by a white performer sometimes. As someone who sees the play, or is in the play night after night, and hears the audience react to the power dynamics in the play, I'm curious how you see that change, the audience reaction, whether Creon is black or white.
I don't think there is a change in the audience. It's a table read. It's not a backdrop, not a scene, not costuming at all. I think they are listening to the words of each speaker. And that's my take on it now. Someone may say something different, but the words that Creon offers are so powerful and so mean. I don't think, it matters if Creon is black or white.
Similar take, Marcel?
Yeah, similar take for me, because I actually had the experience of two nights ago where the cast chimed in on that exact question. And some people said they had a very different experience with black actor versus white actor. People of color feeling compassionate towards the black Creon and not so dictatorship.
Seeing him that way.
For me, because of the work that we are there for, I don't see it any other way. I see it as the actor delivering
it. You know
it.
Who that character
is. I know that character is. And then I get to know those people.
Brian, we just have a minute left. Let me get to one other thing. In the questions that you ask the audience after the play, one of them is, what is true? Can't start any heavier or more abstract even than that. Don't take that question to Washington, because I heard that truth isn't truth, but that's another show. But you also ask about allyship and what it means to be a good ally.
Yeah.
How are those conversations going? Because, and again, you have to do this in 30 seconds,
no problem.
It's such a fraught topic out there in the world between women and people of color and white and males who claim to be their allies.
That's right. So in the play, Antigone tries to get her sister Ismene to help her bury her brother. Ismene says she won't do it. She wants to obey the law. Antigone goes and buries her brother instead and then faces a death sentence. And then Ismene, the sister, shows up and says, I want to die too. And Antigone says, you may not share in things in which you played no part. And she says to her sister, essentially, you're not my ally. And so we use that as a jumping off point for a conversation of, are people who show up too late still allies? Are people who show up late in the game, who are just coming to consciousness of their own need to be part of this conversation, still allies? And is the purpose of tragedy to wake us up to the possibility of making a decision before it's too late?
And on that profound question, we leave it with Brian Dorries, Artistic Director of Theater of War Productions, Marcel Davies Lashley, and Latricia Allen, who are in the play Antigone in Ferguson. You can RSVP for standby tickets. It's sold out. It's free, but RSVP, but sold out. But you can get standby tickets. It's on the Harlem stage through October 13th. Thank you all so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you.